Shelton talked about it again after the game last night. Baseball, it's fun, everything else, but you get the sense, even though we're still in April, this Pirates team, no more messing around. If you want to play ball in the National League Central, you want to try and contend, you've got to beat the Athletics. They're a better team, but you got to beat them. Yeah. And that's just all there is to it.
Boyle comes home. Swing and a miss, struck him out. Down and away, slider in the zone. So 2-2 and the pitch. Swing and a miss, struck him out, 98 at the top of the zone. Sawinski strikes out with the bases loaded. Crack bat, little pop onto second. Onto short, there's one. Relay, easy double play, and the game ends. All A's tonight, 5-1.
Yeah, miss you much works. Pirates and the baseball missing you much with their bats, or usually they just look. They lead the league in strikeouts looking. It's Paul Zeiss, it's Starkey. It's city limits, but we're leaning toward Neutron with that beautiful haircut. We're leaning toward Neutron. Paul, I have a little rant to start out, if you may indulge me.
Go ahead. Rants are always good. By the way, good morning.
Good morning.
All right.
What do you got over there? Burger King?
No, I had a bag and I needed to carry all the, like, my water and all this stuff.
Wendy's?
No. It's just a bag.
Oh, just a bag.
I carried my fruit and all my drinks and everything. Because I needed to carry in a bag.
You have a regular smorgasbord going on over there.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
A banana, a fruit cup, a bottle of water, a bag of cinnamon apples?
Yes.
You're going heavy on the fruit this morning.
Yeah.
Lots of fruit.
Lots of fruit for the morning.
Yep. I'm glad to see this. You know what, when you see it, is the theme of this opening rant. And we saw it last night. Just like we saw it in Cleveland with the Steelers, that a bad offense, one that's bad for multiple years, finally hits bottom. It happened last night in Oakland. Two hits, season low two hits, a bunch of strikeouts again against a pitcher who had a 7.08 ERA. And this is not different than when Art Rooney, according to a lot of people, stepped in and said, enough is enough. Let's get Matt Canada out of here. It's time for Bob Nutting to do something like that, something highly out of character, and step in and force a change if it's not already in the works, and say, this offensive coordinator, so to speak, this hitting coach, Andy Haynes, has to go. He has to go. So that'll be done by the end of the day. That's what I'm saying if I'm Bob Nutting. We know it when we see it. This team is second in the National League at strikeouts, but they don't hit for power to make up for that. They don't hit at all. All the young hitters are regressing. So are the old hitters. They have an infuriating lack of aggression at the plate. Rum Bunner, the Pirate blog, put out an incredible number regarding Haynes, even going back to his Brewers days, how often his team strike out looking. They lead the majors in strikeouts looking this year. They have to lead the majors in squandered opportunities with the bases loaded. I don't know how much of this is Andy Haynes' fault, but that's where you begin. Part of this is probably Ben Cherington for putting together a crappy lineup. Part of it's on Shelty, who's a de facto hitting coach, former hitting coach himself. But you're responsible to the mission of your job. Our job here is to get ratings. Yes, if we don't get them for a long time, we're going to be done. His job is he's called a hitting coach, and they don't hit. So Bob Nutting, be Art Rooney today. That was rock bottom. Make a phone call. It's the end. It should be the end for Andy Haynes.
Well,
do something as the team owner.
The thing I will say is, if you get rid of Andy Haynes, you might have to send a couple of other hitting instructors who are under his wing or under his philosophy packing. Because
and
it's funny, the guy that actually fixed somebody gets fired last year.
Got fired last year.
So to me,
John Nunnally was his name.
The thing about it is, what was really, and you know, I got home last night, Joe, got something to eat, sat down, said, I'm going to watch the entire Pirates game tonight. You know, I'm not going to flip back
my
and
condolences.
Forth. Right? I'm not going to flip back and forth. I'm just going to watch the entire game. Even though there was NHL and NBA and everything else on, I'm just going to watch the entire Pirate game. And I'm going to tell you what I came away with. I saw a group of hitters who just seemed disinterested in really having good at-bats. I mean, I hate to say it that way. Guys swinging at, you know, pitches, bad pitches. Guys, watching good pitches. I watch the A's, on the other hand, who are equally as bad offensively, right? I saw them turn a walk into a stolen base, into a run. I saw them turn three sacrifice flies into runs. I saw them use a sacrifice bunt to move somebody up that turned into a run. Like, they did all the things that you have to do when you don't have mashers, when you don't have a lineup full of good, you know, hitters. They did everything that you're supposed to do. Some that even, you know, the analytics wonks will tell us you shouldn't do. Oh, well, you should never bunt, sacrifice bunt. If you've got, and listen, the guy who was batting ninth last night for the A's is literally one of the worst hitters in the league, right? And he looks like he's 5 foot one. He literally looks like he's 5 foot one. What was his name? Allen. Their shortstop, right? Look, completely overmatched at the plate. So why wouldn't you use him to sacrifice bunt if you got guy on? Why not? At least you're going to get something out of his outs. And, you know, you look at it, and I said, here's a team that has an approach. Here's a team that has a game plan. Here's a team that has the ability to use outs to move runners up and create, you know, an opportunity to score runs. The Pirates, they look like they have zero approach to what they're doing. They just are all out there hacking and swinging. Listen.
Or not swinging and looking.
Right. And so in the last three innings, it felt like, and I know this is not what happened, but it felt like a team that just threw up their hands and said, to hell with it. We can't hit anyway, so why don't we just swing at whatever, you know, just swing away and be happy if we pop it up.
And that's what I mean by we know it when we see it. Something ended last night, and it should be the tenure of the hitting coach. And next on notice should be Cherington and Shelton. I don't think there's any question about that. This has gone, I was going to say sideways, it's gone way worse than sideways. Since they were 9-2, they're 5-14. That's a 119 loss pace. The pitching has been outstanding, but we all know what's going to happen. If the hitting starts to come back, the pitching will probably go south. The starting pitching, I should say, has been outstanding. This team is in an absolute free fall. Andrew McCutchen was your cleanup hitter last night. Is this all going to end soon? I don't mean the McCutchen tenure, although you could argue it should. I mean McCutchen never batting below fifth. He did okay for a couple games in the leadoff spot. Sawinski at 178.
He's
your five hitter. Triolo at 214. You got guys in the minors who are hitting. Okay, this is not working. This is a terrible lineup. This might be the worst lineup in all of baseball. And that's on Cherington, by the way. But again, with Haynes, it's not working. Something needs to change with the approach.
It's the approach, Joe.
You explained it yesterday, but if you lead the league in strikeouts, they're infuriatingly passive. That's the problem, in my opinion.
Right.
I'd rather have 100 more strikeouts and more home runs and more extra base hits. You know, they were talking on the broadcast last night. Well, they get tons of base runners. Like, they're among the league leaders in base runners. So what? Base runners don't matter if you don't have somebody to drive the ball. And
right.
They're not, like you said, they don't even appear to be trying to drive the ball. And I wonder if that's part of their approach. Yet they somehow strike out a million times.
Yeah, there's been times when some of these guys are up and there's guys on base, I'm like, just drop down a bunt. Do something. Just drop down a bunt and see what happens. Maybe you can, you know, force them to make a play, and maybe you might actually, you know, get your guys moving forward.
I mean, we have to ask Shelty today, what is the case for keeping Andy Haynes? Nothing has happened since he got here. They're a bottom five offense since he got here.
Here's the thing. It's not even so much that. Has anyone gotten better? That's the question.
That's the bigger question.
Who has gotten better? Well, the one guy who actually went back to double A or went back to the double A hitting instructor and worked some things out in his swing, he got better, and then they fired the guy.
Right. And you could tell from the beginning when questions were raised about Joe Nunnally, he was a double-A coach in Altoona, the hitting coach, and Key Brian Hayes went on the record last year and said, I went back to him for some help, which you think would be a good thing.
Right.
Like, that's still Ben Cherington's staff. These are his people. Great. You went use every resource you have in our organization, but instead they seem to take the heat and be very thin-skinned about the fact that Hayes went back to this double A guy. And the reason they seem to take the heat and be thin-skinned really seemed to be in protection of Andy Haynes. Why are we trying to protect this guy? Why?
And I don't understand what he's done to merit that kind of protection.
Exactly.
That's the biggest thing to me. What has he done that? What has he done that merits the kind of protection that he's gotten, where it's like, well, no, we can't have that conversation about him. And it's why? I tell you, a guy who's like in a free fall, really.
Tell me a guy who isn't in a free fall.
But you've been pointing this out as Michael A. Taylor.
Oh,
I mean, he's still batting. What is he still hitting? Like 240 or something, right? Which is still.
I have no memory of the last thing he did at the plate.
You know for a fact, in the last 7 days, he's 2 for 15 in his last 7 days. So, and the other guy that I told you, the shine is off, slowly but surely coming back off. Joey Bart is now in the last 15 days. Where is he at? Last 7 days, he's in the last 8 days, he's 2 for 15.
And those guys, honestly, are the least of their problems.
No, like, they are. Absolutely.
Most is Sawinski, Henry Davis, O'Neill Cruz, McCutchen as your cleanup guy. At the very least, Andy Haynes shouldn't be at the game tonight, honestly. And I don't say that like cavalierly. I understand that it's a big deal if somebody loses their job. But he shouldn't be at the game tonight. At the very least, people on a plane already out west should be Jiwon Bey, Nick Gonzalez. Bey adds some speed. Gonzalez is has a 1,000, over 1,000 OPS. I know they might not hit at the majors.
And what about Peguero? Bring him, too.
And Peguero, yes, at 289.
And Grandal.
Peguero looks like Cal Ripken in this lineup.
And Grandal, and send about three or four of these guys.
Yeah, bat him, you're right, bat him 3, 4, 5, 6 in the lineup.
Why not?
This has reached a crisis point. And yes, I truly believe that the owner needs to step in the way that Art Rooney reportedly did twice way back with Bruce Arians, although that was a change more revolving around let's protect our quarterback moving forward a little more. It wasn't about not scoring. This is just like the Steelers in Cleveland. It had been 2.5 years of hideous Matt Canada offense, and we all saw it that day in Cleveland.
Right.
He certainly did. No. And it's been two years and a month of hideous Pirate offense. Whereas you say, the biggest deal is that their younger players, not only are they not getting better, they're regressing. And this offense stinks, and he's in charge of the hitting. It's just that simple. And something needs to happen. But at the very, very least, Peguero, Bey, Gonzalez need to be up. I don't know why people feel compelled to defend Triolo. What?
Right.
You know, maybe send Cruz down. Definitely send Davis down. Have a talk with McCutchen. Is this going to work moving forward? I don't know, man. But like Greg Brown said at the beginning of that broadcast last night, he essentially said, we've reached a crossroads here, and you better beat the A's. You know, I think he meant in this series, if you're going to do anything in the NL Central. They are on a 119 loss pace since they started 9-2. Imagine.
Talked about it again after the game last night. Baseball, it's fun, everything else, but you get the sense, even though we're still in April, this Pirates team, no more messing around. If you want to play ball in the National League Central, you want to try and contend, you've got to beat the Athletics. They're a better team, but you got to beat them. And that's just all there is to it.
Yeah, and instead against a guy with an ERA that was more than a touchdown, they had a season-low 2 hits and got lucky on their only run when it was a wild pitch with the bases loaded, Paul. 412 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Whose fault is all this and what needs to happen? We got all kinds of things going on today. The JP, thanks to JP Roofing and Siding, here's a rundown of what's going on. Garrett Padel, who we had before the draft, the NFL draft from CBS Sports. Where does he put the Steelers draft? We have WVU O-line coach Matt Moore. I wonder if he knows Crowley. He's going to talk about Zach Fraser. We have Shelty in the Shelty Show at noon. We have a reporter out of Denver on Cortland Sutton. I don't know if there's any fire to the smoke of Cortland Sutton or others. And then Brooke Pryor, who's great on the Steelers at 1 o'clock.
You know, the thing too, about the whole not being able to hit, I think that it's really frustrating when you see guys like Nick Gonzalez and what they're doing down there.
Yes.
And we keep running the same guys out every single night. The other part of it is, remember when they were, what, like 9-2?
Yeah.
And there was this idea that, there's no way they're going to go through another collapse like they did last year.
Yeah, that seems like a long time ago now, seems, doesn't it?
I mean, 5-14. 5-14. Let's play that out over a month. You know what I mean? What are you talking about? Probably them going something like 8-18 or something in a month. You have a couple months like that, that's a full-blown collapse.
This keeps up. You people aren't interested. Forget about into Steelers training camp. It won't even be into mini camp. I mean, something needs to happen. It's almost like the Steeler recipe. Like, I don't know if what the Steelers have done is going to work, but at least they're trying. And I would even say the Penguins. The Penguins went out last offseason and made the biggest move in hockey to bring in Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
Didn't work, but at least they're trying. What are the Pirates doing? I mean, they're so bad that they got Paul Skeens and, you know, other picks and probably made the wrong one, it looks like, with Henry Davis. But what are they actually doing, you know, to change this? I would argue that one thing that needs to happen today is to fire the hitting coach and move on and put the manager and the general manager on notice. Okay, because we're now in year, what, 4 or 5 of the rebuild? And I was on board, as everybody knows, the entire time. It's time to win, and the price for not winning needs to be exorbitant.
It's a
word.
I'll tell you this. It's one of those things that if you look at what has happened in the last 5 years, Joe, under Ben Cherington,
yeah.
Can you name a position player who has legitimately, in a tangible way, developed?
No.
Other than Cabrian Hayes.
Other
than Hayes, who had to go somewhere else to find his, you know what I mean?
And he was drafted by the previous regime.
Exactly, exactly.
And you or I could have picked him, and you or I could have picked, at the top of the draft, Skeens.
Right.
We may not have picked Davis. They did. But he was legitimately
right.
a 3-5
right,
pick, right,
right? Right?
That they haven't developed. This is getting to a crisis point. I mentioned this, I think, a week ago, and they won a couple games in a row and sort of, you know, put their critics at bay for a day or two. And on top of that, we got to watch Buffalo Indy. Maybe their best pitcher, including Jarrett Jones, pitch for Indianapolis against Buffalo. Paul Skeens. How long is this going to go on? Zangrilli said May 10th. Get him up here. Not that it'll do any good because they can't hit, but he has a 0.53 ERA and strikes everybody out. And at some point, it's going to be diminishing returns in AAA where he's not getting anything out
exactly.
of it. Get him up here.
That's the biggest thing.
Him hit, by the way. He can hit, remember?
Is he doing anything now that he couldn't, you know, that he hasn't already accomplished? I mean, today I'm assuming he's going to go, what, four innings and blow everybody away, right?
Yeah.
Maybe give up a couple of hits here and there.
Right.
We've seen it before.
Bring him up as a hitter. Send him back to Indy for his fifth-day rotation part, or sixth-day, whatever they're doing down there, and bring him up here and let him hit like he did at Air Force and LSU. Let him hit. I'm practically serious about that.
Yeah,
If I were a fan right now, Paul, I would be beyond infuriated with what's happening with this lineup. The lineups they're trotting out there, and I told you, I watched that day against the Orioles in a series where the Pirates actually won the series against a good team, and it felt like smoke and mirrors. It felt like this is not sustainable. I was there on a Saturday where they had the bases loaded and nobody out in the 10th inning, and they couldn't win. And the lineup was Cruz, Reynolds, and then Connor Joe in the three hole, Sawinski, Olivares, Tellez, Triolo, Bart, and Akilah Williams.
Okay,
That was on a Saturday, not a Sunday.
Right, here we go. Let's do this, though. What would be your lineup now?
Skeens at leadoff. Let me ask you a silly question. If you gave Skeens a month to hit, would he be worse than Jack Sawinski? In other words, if you gave him the full month of, let's say, June.
90 at-bats. Just give him 90 at-bats.
Let him train again for a month. And I know this is ridiculous in a way that's never going to happen. But give a guy who was one of the best hitters in college baseball, I believe, at one point. Give him a month to train and then give him 90 at-bats. And if he could match Sawinski with six extra base hits, a 178 average, a 272 on base percentage, and a 561 OPS, and a 289 slug, I promise you that Paul Skeens would at least be in that neighborhood and probably better.
Probably better. So if you go with the lineup now, I mean, to me, if you look at it,
Joey Bart batting 1-9, just keep sending him up there.
I mean, but he's
even he's gone down to 2.
I actually probably would go with Cabrian Hayes leading off right now.
I would. This is what I would do, Paul. I would make whatever moves I had to make, including the uncomfortable one with McCutchen, if I had to make that. And move on from that situation because he's not playing the field either. He's a guy who doesn't play the field and isn't hitting.
Right.
And you don't know where to put him.
But hear me out here. Yeah. Actually, I probably would lead off Connor Joe. I'd be okay with leading off Connor Joe.
Yeah.
I would probably have Hayes bat second and Cruz bat third.
Mm-hmm. Cruz? I would have Cruz in the minors. Yeah, I would have Cruz, Davis. Seriously. Cruz, Davis, Triolo in the minors. Have an uncomfortable conversation with McCutchen, and I would have Jiwon Bae in the leadoff spot with Nick Gonzalez, Brian Hayes, and Reynolds.
Everybody is in the organization is at your disposal is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
But if you're telling me I have to go with the guys I guess I go with Akilah Williams at leadoff. Alika Williams at leadoff, then Hayes, Reynolds.
That's what I'm saying. I probably go. I can live with. Okay, so we'll go
Bart.
We'll go Williams at second, right? Williams at second, leading off.
And you realize that we both said that, and we're talking about a career 228 hitter. But go ahead.
Okay, so let's go
with no home runs in his career.
Williams first. I would probably go. Connor Joe second at that point.
Okay.
Then I would go Reynolds and then Hayes at the four spot.
Right, with his one homer. I would too. I know. That's Slim Pickens.
That's what I mean.
And that's putting it mildly. That's an insult to Slim and Pickens.
My five hitter might be Bart. Right?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, makes me angrier than anybody, Sawinski. Maybe that's the topic off the top. Which pirate infuriates you more than any other right now?
But the strikeouts are better now. He's not swinging and missing as much as before.
And the crazy thing is he's hit lefties, but he can't hit righties anymore.
He's hitting over 300 against lefties.
412-928-9370.
I think the one.
Take a moment and think about it. Take a breath and say, all right, let me think now. Which pirate really, really infuriates me the most? For me, it would be Sawinski.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. So we went, let me just finish this real quick.
Yeah,
I'm illustrating a point here. So we went Williams, number one,
mm-hmm.
Joe, number two, right? Reynolds, Hayes, Bart, okay? I actually think, and this is probably nutty.
Or nutting.
But I would put Oliveras probably in right field and have him at sixth.
He hasn't gotten a hit since Malzi had hair.
And then Cruz, seventh, I guess, until he figures out how to hit again. But now you've got a problem. Okay, so to your point, Kutch would be eight.
By the way, Oliveras is three for his last 27.
Okay, well, get him out then.
With no homers and no extra base hits.
Okay, I'm
none.
Sorry.
He turned Edward Oliveras.
I'm gonna break your rule. I'm gonna use your rule.
Yeah.
How about if we put? Jeez, I don't like any of that.
So this points back to Charrington, by
right,
the way.
Exactly.
And to Bob Nutting.
But here's the point I was trying to illustrate. You have to play Oliveras, McCutchen, or Michael A. Taylor no matter what.
At least with Michael A. Taylor, you have defense. Right. And
I'm just saying, like, in some ways, you're just kind of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic for after about four hitters on this lineup.
I hope that Gonzalez, Bay, and yes, Peguero are on a plane
right
to Oakland.
They should be.
Right now.
They should be.
And I don't care if they didn't sleep. They could actually sleep at the plate and do better than
here's
the guys.
Here's the thing that, you know, they'll say. You know, they're not. A move is not going to be made until Thursday because they come home. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
that's how they
right
do things.
Well, they could make a move at hitting coach because,
right,
you know, if I was Bob Nutting, here's what I would do. Andy Haynes is done. We're announcing that today. And Shelty, you're in charge of the hitters. You have a big role in it anyway. Your pedigree is as a hitting coach. Let's go. Bring in somebody else maybe who you want to work with. This is your charge now. And by the way, you're on the clock, and so is Ben Charrington if this thing keeps going south the way it is right now.
I'm just telling you, it's got to be. I mean, there's got to be – it was funny. Somebody asked me, hilarious. It was hilarious. Someone asked me last night, at what point does Andy Haynes get on the clock?
It's incredible.
Someone asked me that on Twitter last night, and I said, he doesn't. He apparently doesn't. They're basically, you know, it's everybody else's fault. And he wrote back, wait. Let me see if I can find it real quick. He wrote back something to the effect of, why is it Pittsburgh is the only town where the actual results of games don't seem to matter when it comes to evaluating coaches?
I know. Isn't that amazing? It really is.
It's pretty true.
Well, this is interesting. Nelly just pointed this out. Kevin Weeks, who's real good NHL analyst and breaks news from time to time, has the eyeball emoji with a shot of Pittsburgh. Does that just mean he's... Well, he wouldn't... Why would he be here? He's not here. Hashtag HockeyX, hashtag Hockey Twitter. What does that mean, Paul?
So who is this, Kevin Weeks?
Yes.
Let me look at it.
Sullivan to the Devils, somebody suggests. Crosby to the Avs.
Kevin Weeks.
Sully.
How do you spell his name?
People are speculating about Sullivan's future, W-E-E-K-E-S, Kevin Weeks.
Oh, K-E-S, okay. Kevin Weeks.
Eyeball emoji, dot, 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 and then a picture, I think it's the Clemente Bridge and downtown. What is this? What's going on here? Why would he be going through Pittsburgh? Somebody wonders, are you in Pittsburgh? Is that why? Why would he do the eyeball emoji for that? People are wondering about Sully. Everybody wondering about Sully and the Devils. Everybody wondering about this and that. What's going on here, Paul?
This is what I'm tweeting right now. As if we didn't have enough to speculate about the serious move for the Steelers. Or whatever the hell that was.
Well, that's still speculating. And right. Zay Jones, by the way, just got released by the Jags, who drafted Brian Thomas. You interested in Zay Jones?
Yeah, why not? I think he's a good player.
Yeah. He's kind of Tyler Boyd-like. I would rather have Boyd myself. Zay Jones was racked by injury last year. He only played 9 games, whereas Boyd has been healthy pretty much his whole career. And I don't know. I 34 catches. He had 82 the year before when they were a good offense. 82 catches, 823 yards, 5 TDs. But he had some problems last year. I think it was ankle, leg problems. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't be that thrilled with it.
But if
I'd rather get a big fish.
But they could sign. I mean, it would cost them almost nothing to get him. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just think they need a legit number two, and he ain't Is there a big difference between him and Van Jefferson? I don't know.
You're right. That's probably true. So this whole thing with Kevin Weeks, Sullivan to the Devils, we hear. And this guy that says Sullivan to
those are readers, right?
Wait, Sullivan to the Devils. He says we hear H-E-R-E. so that's a really credible guy right there. Actually, Richard has a blue check. LeBron, AD, Herbert enthusiast. Mm. Today is a good day to fire Dennis Allen.
So Weeks has not said anything beyond that. Those are all reader comments, but it has people going wild here. The eyeball emoji. Our friend Nelly pointed this out. What do you think this means, Limits? And we haven't heard from you. I want you to jump in here, Neutron.
And I'm also donning my 2015, the postseason is here, pirate shirt. I might not be able to wear a postseason is here shirt for a very long time, so I'm basking in that glory. This has to be something in regards to either A, Todd Reardon is officially gone, or B, there's a big juicy trade rumor with somebody, and maybe it's Tristan Jarry. If there's anybody on the Penguins, that's who it would have to circle around.
What?
Tristan Jarry.
What about the idea of Carlson going back to Ottawa? I know Mackey, I think, wrote the other day that his wife loves it there, has connections there in Ottawa. His Carlson's best buddy, is it Alfredson? I can't remember, is an assistant coach there. Like, he has obviously major connections there. Could they talk him into leaving? I don't know. You're not all you'd hear is a rumor on that right now, but the coaching stuff seems more realistic to me, Paul.
Yeah. Or someone speculating that like Pittsburgh got awarded an All-Star game or the draft or something.
Maybe. Yeah. Especially since you put the city skyline
right
on there. Yeah. There you go.
That's probably what someone speculated.
Yeah, but if someone's putting out the eyeballs, we're speculating. That's what we do here. So let's speculate on some phone calls there, Limits. We opened the show with the Pirates bottoming out on offense last night. It's my contention, and I think Paul agrees, that this was the Steelers in Cleveland, where literally years of offensive ineptitude hit rock bottom. We all saw it. Art Rooney, a lot of people believe, stepped in and made sure that Matt Canada was gone after that game. I happen to think Bob Nutting should force a change right now with Andy Haynes. And as one faithful listener said, Patrick Roberts, I think it's the players, not the hitting coach. The problem is the owner, not the GM or hitting coach. The budget for players is the issue, and that is ownership's responsibility. I hear that. I definitely hear that. But every young player of pedigree is getting worse.
Yes.
Somebody got to take the fall for that. Both things can be true.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that's the big thing. That's the big thing to me is everybody wants narratives. I don't deal in narratives, Joe. I just look at what happens. I look at facts. I look at that. And it frustrates people sometimes because they think that, that because I don't go along with whatever their narratives are if the facts don't necessarily align with it. You know what I mean? I look at the facts. I look at the data. I look at what we're actually doing here. And I I don't know how you could argue about what you just said. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, both can be true. It's a bad, bad roster. And that's on Charrington. And then by extension, you look at the budget and it's absolutely on Nutting. But come on. I mean, nobody's getting better. Something has to fall on the hitting coach, you know?
All right.
928-93-70.
But again, nobody's getting better would suggest that it's not just the hitting coach. Maybe it's the hitting coach's philosophy that's holding everyone. But at the end of the day, you know what? I think when you look at it from this standpoint, if these guys, these young hitters, are coming through three or four levels of minor leagues, and they're, you know what I mean? They're building a little bit at a time on, okay, now I'm in single A, now I'm in double A, now I'm in triple A, right? It's not just Andy Haynes. Maybe it's his philosophy, but all of these instructors, all of these people that are in charge of development.
And that goes back to Charrington then.
It all goes back to Charrington, because at the end of the day, it starts at the top. This is our organizational philosophy. This is what we want. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'd be willing to bet Derek Shelton isn't on board with everything that's going on in terms of how they're trying to develop hitters and things of the such. I just can't believe a guy who was a hitting instructor, who was a hitting coach.
But isn't he part of the problem?
But my point is, we saw what happened with a guy from the double A. That what's his name? The hitting coach?
John Nunnally.
John Nunnally. We saw what happened with him.
Right.
He went against the philosophy, and guess what? He's no longer here.
I don't know. He helped. What did he actually do? All he did was help Key Brian Hayes, and they seemed to. I remember asking Shelty about that last year, and he didn't seem to like the question. They all seem incredibly protective of Andy Haynes.
Yes.
And I can't figure out why. Let's hit the phones, Paul. Who do you got, Limits?
Dan in Upper St. Clair.
What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. About your most infuriating pirate right now, I'd have to say I think we can just label Hank Davis a bust. He doesn't even call the pitches from behind the plate, guys. So, like, him concentrating on catching this year and learning to be a catcher, all you got to do is catch the baseball and then go out and hit. He's not even calling the game. And that, to me, is very infuriating. And O'Neill Cruz also just doesn't pass the eye test. I think they just drafted him because of his size, like they did Polanco.
Well, let's be honest. Cruz has incredible, phenomenal natural ability.
Oh.
But the guy for the Reds, the other Cruz, Eli De La Cruz, he's become a star already. Go look at his numbers.
And I just saw last night what his numbers were. Like
De La Cruz?
Yeah.
De La Cruz. O'Neill's not even the third best Cruz in the National League.
Yeah. There you go. Ella De La Cruz has 18 stolen bases, the most before May 1st since Deion Sanders in 1997.
Give me his OPS and all that.
Ella De La Cruz now has 8 home runs and 17 stolen bases in April. He's the first player with at least that many home runs and stolen bases in a calendar month since at least 1901.
Yeah, he's becoming a star. Now, I want to give O'Neill a little bit of a break in April because he's coming off a major injury. But, man, this cannot go on much longer. It just can't. And then Henry did. And I wonder about O'Neill. We've seen Gregory Polanco was an example. Taller guys have holes in their swing that can be exploited. And I want to ask Shelty about that today as well. And then Henry Davis. Paul, I'd love to get a hitting instructor on here to analyze him for us. What I see,
yes.
What I see is a guy gripping the bat like if he lets go of it, the world's going to end, and trying to pull everything. I mean everything. And you just can't live like that at that level. You just can't.
No.
And I just don't see anything resembling a polished approach, an all fields approach. There's been no power. There's been nothing. Nothing. And I'm growing highly concerned about him as a hitter. I honestly don't give a damn about the catching or the right. I never did.
I never did.
You draft a guy one overall for his bat.
Exactly. You want him to hit. Period.
Let's go to the phone. God bless you.
Here's Rob in West Mifflin.
Hey, Rob.
Morning, folks. How y'all doing? This problem started, man, in the off season. You know, we was all preaching that you got to go get at least one more pitcher. We agree with that, but you know, you Rowdy Tellez, you can't be serious about winning if you sign a Rowdy Tellez to be your starting first baseman. Then Piguero was tearing the cover off the ball last year towards the end of the season. I thought he was definitely penciled in to be the starting second baseman. I don't know what Shelky's infatuation is with Triolo.
Me neither.
But, I mean. I would bring all these guys up here. Like, Figueroa should definitely be up for Gonzalez. You know, I don't know if this is his last shot, but he needs another shot. Because right now, this is not sustainable. And right now, we look like we might be on pace to losing another 100 games, man. With all these good arms that we have, we can't have no more seasons like this. So I'm with everything that y'all said. This pitching coach, they need to leave him in Oakland.
Yeah.
Send him back on the same plane that Figueroa and him is coming on.
The hitting coach, right. No, you won't find any disagreement here.
No, absolutely. I mean, again, it's been so hard to watch this team because I feel like there is something there if these guys were either developed better or were playing better or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hope. I mean, I worry about Cruz and Davis, and those are supposed to be two of your guys. Gonzalez was supposed to be a guy by now, and he was right. Rob was right about the offseason. And all they did was dumpster dive, and it just gets so tiresome to see them, they position themselves as a franchise that can only afford to take chances on guys who have been hurt and underperforming and this and that. They position themselves as that. They're trying to hit on lottery tickets. I mean, Rowdy Tellez was the second, should have been their second choice if they were going for a veteran first baseman. Rhys Hoskins should have been the first, and even he, you could argue, was a dumpster dive. But Tellez is coming off a year where he batted 215 with an OPS that was like in the 600s.
Right.
You know, and he's never been a great hitter. The career OPS is 740. He's got some power. He's got some pop. That's about it, although he hasn't shown it at all yet here. It was a dumpster dive. And you can't spend a little money on, like, one position out there.
Yeah.
Just one. Go get a bat, you know. Nobody's asking for the Dodgers payroll. Just get as close as you can to a guaranteed bat. And I know there's no such thing. I know the Giants spent a bunch of money on people, and that's not turning out. But you get the point.
Right.
Out there, you're only going to hit when all you're doing is going out and getting lottery tickets. There's a very low percentage you're going to hit.
Well, again, but the bottom line is, have they really gotten lottery tickets because they've drafted so high?
It's more like what are the tickets where you can? I'm talking about veterans. But
yeah.
What are the tickets where you can only win $10 even if you do win? What do you call those?
Scratch-offs.
Yes, that's what they do. They specialize in scratch-offs, City Limits, where even the reward is $10. You probably spent more going to the grocery store.
But here's the thing, Joe. Here's what's frustrating. They invested money in Brian Reynolds. Hasn't really turned out very well.
Not really.
Invested money in Aroldis Chapman. Hasn't really turned out very well.
Mitch Keller. So
invested
far.
Money in Mitch Keller. I mean, I would argue that he's been at least... how do I say this? Competitive. I don't know that he's been great, but he's been okay.
Not this year.
Since
they invested that money in
right,
him.
Right. Actually, I'm now looking as I hate to say this because you hate these analytics, but a number that I think is a really good indicator of how good a pitcher's been is WHIP. And he's not good at all.
You know who is having a good year? And I hate to depress people. Tyler Glasnow leads the American League in wins. Listen to his numbers. 5-1, 2.72 ERA, 0.93 whip, 53 strikeouts in 43 innings. One more call, Limits. Let's go with one more call, shall we?
All right, let's go to Dom in Canonsburg.
Hello, Dom. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Paul. It's actually Donald, but that's fine. I won't get mad like the other guy the other day whenever you had his name wrong.
I appreciate that. And you absolutely sound like Belichick. You really do. But go ahead.
Well, I'm only 34 years old, so some people say I have the voice for radio and face for radio.
Paul, is this unbelievable? This Belichick sound alike?
It is. He's definitely a sound alike.
Go ahead.
Now, so hey, real quick, you had talked about apathy setting in before even mini camps. So I'll tell you a quick story. So last night, I usually – these West Coast trips are a little bit different. I usually enjoy them. So I'll go out in the summertime, watch baseball. It's my number one sport. So I pushed back grilling last night a little bit, sat down on my couch with my dog getting ready to watch baseball. And by the third inning, Joe, I turned it off. then I went to sleep. I was like, this is going to go just how the last week and a half, 2 weeks have gone. It's just, it's ridiculous. And just 2 points. So you have two home runs combined from your corner infielders, from your starting corner infielders. I understand that Joe plays first base every now and then. But Tellez and Hayes have two home runs combined. You're not going to survive like that in this league. I mean, that's ridiculous.
And then Limits, do you have a clip of Belichick that we could run side by side with Don from Canonsburg? I mean, this is uncanny. Has anybody ever told you that, Don?
You are the first one, my friend.
Paul? Am I losing my
mind? No, you're absolutely right. He sounds exactly like Belichick.
But I interrupted you, for which I apologize. Please continue.
No, okay. That was my first point. Corner infielders, I'm sure the corner outfielders aren't much better compared to the league. I haven't looked into those numbers specifically yet. But the second point is, what do we have to look forward to other than schemes? I mean, I'm talking about hitting-wise. My buddy texted me the other day and said, who do we have in the minors coming up at first base? And I was like, oh. Well, I almost cussed on the air, sorry. I thought myself. But I was like, oh, gee. I mean, we have nobody.
Well, hopefully, and I hear what you're saying. And, wow, this was incredible. Thank you for the call.
Yes.
That was just unbelievable.
That was unbelievable.
Wow.
He sounded exactly like him.
He did. Let's not bury the lead here, City Limits. Come back later with going from one to the other, from one to the other. We'll give you a little time to put together that that collage of sound, if you will.
It sounded exactly, and he made good points.
Very similar, yeah.
And he made good points.
Long lost relatives.
Call that guy back. He needs to come on again. All right. Do you have his number? Did it come up there?
By the way,
Don, call back Limits. Sorry, Paul.
By the way, I was going to say, you know who the four of the five worst pitchers on the Pirates right now in WHIP?
Who?
Chapman, Contreras, Bednar, and Keller. Four guys that you were basically, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Thinking were going to be your best pitchers have, at least by that metric, been among your worst.
What did that guy even just say? I forget now.
He was talking about the fact that they can't.
Oh, what do they have next?
They can't survive. Yeah, they can't survive with what they're doing. He made a really good point, too. If you think about it, their corner infield positions, third base, Hayes with one home run, and Tellez and Connor Joe with three. So their corner infield positions have combined for four home runs.
Hayes should go back and find his minor league hitting coach. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. They fired him.
Right. Which is okay, except for your power hitter, which is supposed to be your shortstop, only has three home runs. I mean, it's uncanny how, if you look up and down the lineup, nobody's hitting, really. I mean, you know.
But you also look up and down. I look up and down and say, who really has the pedigree here where it's like, this is just a blip. This is just an April blip. And any day now, he's really going to get going. I don't know, Brian Reynolds, he usually does a little better than this, but he's an above average, slightly hitter. You know, he's not a star. Sawinski's doing what he always does. Boom, bust, bust, boom, boom, bust, bust, boom. And winds up really not helping your team in the long run. I know sometimes during silly season in September, he'll have a good month or another big home run month. Connor Joe is probably overachieving. Rowdy Tellez, I just mentioned him. It's not like, oh, wow, yeah, this guy, he's going to start blasting home runs any day now. He'll hit a few. Key Brian Hayes has had two good stretches in his whole career of power hitting. He's your cleanup guy or your three guy at times.
Right.
McCutchen looks close to done, honestly. Henry Davis and Cruz have really never done anything. Cruz showed us flashes a couple of years ago. That was it. So there's nothing really in this lineup where you're saying, yeah, that guy, you know, it's only April. That guy's going to get going. Who? Who?
Well, here's the thing. If you look at these numbers, Joe, okay? I just did it real quick. Pirates are among the bottom four in home runs, okay? In the top five in strikeouts.
Yeah.
They're in the bottom eight in average. The bottom four in slugging percentage. And the bottom, let's see. bottom six in OPS. The only metric that they actually are reasonably decent, believe it or not, is on base.
Yeah, well, they get on base, but nobody drives them in, and they don't make
and
up
like
for
like they're
all
great.
This.
They're 15th, but at least they're somewhat really. If they were 15th in all those other numbers,
yeah,
it'd be a whole different story.
They get a bunch of guys on base, but they never drive them in because they can't hit.